I've got a few verses in Ecclesiastes, and then a two passages in the book of the Revelation. And this I know, if you came hungry, wanting to hear and get good news from that distant land, I am sure this morning that you have already sought the Lord, and that you were in your closet and found your heart moved towards Him. If that is you, no matter the preacher's faults or stuttering or stumbling, God will still give you that good news and that bread, sweet manna of Canaan. I'm not saying that honey will be dripping all around you as it was in Saul's son, Jonathan, stuck his end of his sword into it and took a bite. His eyes were open, he did see, and his father said, "You'll die this day." Saul was a religious man that had put religious restrictions upon his men of war. Jonathan said, "If you all had eaten this, then we would have been much stronger today." And Jonathan intended on killing him. So I'm not saying that honey will be that thick around you, but I'm sure that our God will drop at least a morsel into your soul. And you'll have something that you can carry with you, crossing that last sea. John mentioned the Lord Jesus naked on the cross, and that was what I was thinking about getting dressed this morning. Naked. These that paint his picture can put a loincloth around him, but he hung naked because that's the way I am before God. And in all my preaching and in all my attendance to the house of God, if I am not in Him and on that cross my sins were not buried in the sea of God's forgetfulness, all activity is of no avail, no good. It won't profit me a bit standing before Him. So, children, it's time that all of us get very honest with God, as a people, as individuals. Our first passage, I think, will be Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 15. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 15. If you're there, would you bow with me? Our Father, in the 33 years of our Lord, fulfilling thy law completely. Not as God, though he was, but as man. In our place, if we are in him. And as the end of life came upon him, there in the garden, sweat becoming as great drops of blood, but not one drop was in vain. And then they nailed those precious hands to that old wooden beam. Blood continued to drip from the garden to the judgment hall and their own Calvary. That is my hope, my only hope. I want to live before these and those that I know as an example, a witness. But I know that doesn't pay for one sin, though small it might be. They all must be under the shed blood of our Redeemer. And Father, we get careless sometimes with Him, about Him. We get so bogged down with life, so busy, jobs demanding so much of us in this day, family. And yet in it all, Lord, we must not lose Thee. I pray that You might draw all of these dear souls to the Lamb. I ask You, Father, that You would bring a reality of salvation in Christ. That You would bring a devotedness. That I won't take that death lightly. And Lord, the little that I can see there, it is such a small amount. But blessed be Thy name, Lord Jesus, Thine, O God, our Father. And thank You for the Spirit of God, that if we listen and we walk with Thee, then He will direct. Keep us on that straight path. Enable us to come to Thee through Christ. I pray You'll help every individual here. From the young teenagers, preteen, to those not many years behind me. Help us this day to be honest before Thee, honest with ourselves. And Father, give us hearing ears, seeing eyes, understanding heart. And give a good utterance in speaking Thy word. Not my thoughts, but Thine. And be exalted, O God, as you exalt your Son in our midst this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'll give you the title when we get in the Revelation. I know that's not good preaching, but I want to wait about that. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 15, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. The history of this old world that you and I are living in, including all things except this very moment. And yet the moment that I said is already behind ye and already in history. So we and our life is like the hands on that clock. We're always moving in a circle, coming back to the beginning point, which will be tomorrow this time. We've made that complete circle. Just like the hands of that old clock, move continuously. It gets to the end of the day and only to begin over tomorrow if you have a tomorrow. Don't any of you claim that. Now Solomon said that which has been, that which is in history, is taking place right now. And that which is in the future, that which is to be, was somewhere in the past. And so you're living a day at a time, I hope. Give us this day. You're not storing up for tomorrow. You're not waiting on tomorrow to bring better times for you, happier times. You're living in the day, very thankful that God has given you this day and means whereby you can get to Him. Now turn back, and this is reversed in what it should be, to chapter 1, verse 9. Very similar in wording, in language, and meaning. Ecclesiastes 1:9. The thing that hath been, excuse me, is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. When Ezekiel was looking at those wheels, he was looking at the providence of God moving in them. And that's your life. Things you've already been through may be what you go through. Hopefully not the bad times, but you're going to go through that which you've already been. In chapter 11, Solomon said, if a tree fall to the south or to the north, in the place that tree falls, that's where it's going to lie. So you've got today, only time promised to you, to make sure everything's right. Am I prepared to meet the Lord if He comes tonight? And there is a great dread in my heart of having to follow someone here, or more than someone. Follow you in a coffin. And that'll ruin a night's sleep for me. Make sure, whether you're a young boy, young lady, or an old one, make sure. And you being in Christ, that He'll spare you well beyond my time with you. Ever how you fall, ever how death finds you, right with God, free of sin in Christ, or wrong. That's how it will be for you. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Unless the Lord return, there's a grave placed out there somewhere for you. Be a headstone there. And I hope that the writings on it are honest. And that you're in glory. Whatever your hand finds to do. You've heard some things that you ought to be doing this morning or undoing. Just get it done. Now I want you to turn to the Revelation, last book, last chapter. From here I'm going back to Matthew. So just kind of keep your place here. Later on we're going to visit a couple of chapters previous to Revelation 22. This is the Lord Jesus, the revelation of God to Him, the revelation of the person of Christ given to John out there all alone on that island. Verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Whatever you are, when the end comes, that's what you will be throughout eternity. And do not think that in eternity you don't carry a mind with you. Or you don't carry ears or a heart wherefore all this is written. Abraham, would you send Lazarus kept his mind very well acquainted with his misdeeds, his wrongdoings, and his failure to do what he ought to have done. Send him to my brothers. What he's saying is, I didn't live right before them, and if they go to hell, come here, it's going to be my fault with stripes added. Whatever your mind is when you pass, I'm not counting those with the dreaded disease of losing their mind. I'm not counting that at all. I'm counting you with a sound mind. And if that disease ever strikes you, the last of your sound mind will follow you. He that is unjust, let him be unjust. He that is holy, let him be holy still. All labor as to preparation of this day of meeting the Lord is in time. Today, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You don't know what a day will bring forth. But you know what everybody is looking for in this day? We're looking for some outward visible sign of the Lord's return. If you'll just give me enough time to get ready, or I'm going to enjoy today and tomorrow, I'll get everything straight. You know, tomorrow you're going to do exactly like you did today. Apart from the Lord's work within. We all are like a family, teenagers now, and the parents are called away for the weekend, and you've got to stay home. And you keep checking on them, let us know when you're coming home. You was not interested in the day and them coming home, you were interested in having everything straightened out before they got here. You could care less. If they stayed away a month, that'd be all right. You're having a big time. Lord, I got a couple of hours to clean up before you get back. Well, our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 16:4, unto this wicked and adulterous generation that seeketh after a sign, there shall no sign be given. You're looking in vain. We're looking into the future right now. And the only ones not interested in the precise time of the Lord's coming are in exactly all the signs that they should be watching for, are those that are at this moment, in this time, walking with Him, in fellowship with Him. And the closet hears your petitions, and you know because God smiles upon you as you say, Father. You're walking with Him right now, and it won't matter if He comes back this afternoon or tomorrow or a month or 2 weeks. And you're the only ones that's not interested in. Just give us a sign. Serving Him in this present moment. You have no need that I write unto you, for the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night, but that day shall not overtake you. Paul's writing to young men, you brethren, that are not in darkness. And I want every soul to be honest right now to God, because He's the only judge. if you knew that the master of the house would be in this afternoon, how would that change the day for you? Man's always wanted to peer into the unknown, and preachers have made vast sums of money by bringing their little charts and all this they got figured out in time and setting before people what the revelation really means. They've got it all figured out, except really they don't. We're curious. Why do you think we sent satellites out into an unknown distance? And we keep looking. If we can find some reason, some explanation as to how we got here, or if we can find life on another planet, then that will help us. Man's got an interest in that which is not known. And his last words there in Acts 1, his last visible appearance to his disciples, they had this question: Lord, will thou at this time restore unto us, restore again the kingdom to Israel? Well, brethren, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. You know why they had an interest in the nation of Israel, that kingdom being restored? For they wouldn't be under bondage to any other king, any other nation. Those disciples, as did all people in Israel, they knew that they were the chosen nation, the chosen people of God. In the late 70s, there was this minister that decided that he would fly around the country and hold these rallies because America was headed in the wrong direction. And so he'd have these large rallies and he'd fly back into his place up there in Virginia and give them a 15-minute sermonette on Sunday and fly back out. And what he started off with, it ended up being the moral majority. And that man became so popular around the states that our president let him in, and this man whispered into the ears of our president, "Be kind and take care of Israel. They are God's chosen people. Treat them right. Supply their needs." And everybody in the last two centuries that's been under dispensational views of the Scripture, they have set before us signs for which we should watch. Now, when this happens, the Lord's near. One of those signs is in Matthew about the fig tree budding. And they said in 1948... In 1948, that fig tree budded, and Israel, in a 2-year war, really a 7-day war, became a nation again. And now, instead of the Lord's people looking towards the Lord, everybody's watching the nation that rejected the Messiah, trying to discern by a natural eye. We're going to get this figured out. And they're doing what God said don't do. And later on, Paul writes of the times and seasons, you have no need that I write unto you. It's kind of like a mother that's already been through the birth of a child. And she won't know the specific hours or even the specific day if left to herself and nature, but she'll know as the days draw nigh. And no human being knows the specific time of the Lord's return. No need that I write unto you, brethren, but you know the times and the seasons. You know this is coming. Now in Matthew 24, and I'm not going to apologize for covering this so many times. Matthew 24, beginning with verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. The disciples saw in the face of their Lord that similar to what the Samaritans saw. His face was as it would, he would go to Jerusalem, and they wouldn't, or they rejected him. And his disciples saw, they had discernment. Our Lord's left the temple. For 4,000 years, the temple had been that place where the chosen people of God went to meet with the Lord, to hear from Him. Now our Lord said, verse 2, and Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Well, Jesus is fixing to tell them exactly what time he's coming and what they're to look for, right? No. I didn't get that. But in verse 4, he said, you take heed that no man deceive you. Stop looking at the temple. And stop thinking that the temple is where the Shekinah of glory, the glory of God abides. He said, I am the temple. You destroy it, in 3 days I'll raise it up again. And those hearers, as in everything else, they thought, that man's crazy. Our fathers were 40 and some odd years building this temple, and he's going to tear it down and raise it in 3 days? No, he wasn't talking about that. He's talking about his body as being the temple of Almighty God. Destroy it and I'll raise it up. You think that that temple over there is important to Jesus today? Or important to the Jews? Sure it is. They still go to the part of the wall that is remaining and stuff their letters in the cracks of the wall, thinking that behind that wall is the Holy of Holies. We can't get in there. But we can leave our petitions right here, written out in this wall. Sad thing about religion, they've been looking at the wrong thing. And I guarantee you this, that over the past couple of weeks, hundreds upon hundreds, if not thousands upon thousands around the world have been declared to the congregations and will be this day since war broke out over there. And now these that know all about the end times, they can say, here is a sure indicator of the Lord's soon return. No, it's only the hands on the clock that's moving around and around. They became a nation in 48, but they were in war in 56, 67, 73, 82, and 06. And so, because our leaders think like the Jews, we got to keep them safe. And we're supporting them with money that we don't have and propping up the foundations that have already crumbled under you, dear child. They're already gone. So, well, we'll come back. No, we won't. Oh, God might give us a little reprieve. I don't know. But your country's not coming back. Moms and dads, you are living in it. My, if God, if the Lord Jesus tarries, I can only imagine what it will be for your children. Train them up right. Teach them. Pray for them. Take them out to the house of God. We don't have any certain foundation except in the Lord Jesus. And I know that no one wants to hear such negative preaching or such negative thinking. I got a short line that folk can communicate that get on sermon audio on the message of when I was saying there will be no revivals in America. And this is all he said, a young man. He wasn't going to have anything to do with that. All he said, stop it already. I'm living in a nation God's going to send revival. If folk here, I mean really here, and I might be like Jeremiah in chapter 38 when the princes came to the king and said, let this man be put to death. He weakeneth the hand of the men of war and of people. This man seeks not the welfare of this people. Well, we don't have a nation anymore with armed services that can fight. We got to bring in all these little inclusive groups. And Jeremiah was saying, God's going to destroy this nation. You're going into bondage. Mark it down. The men said to the king, get rid of him. I mean, our land can't handle such preaching as that prophet's doing, or Amos. When Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, went to Jeroboam, the king of Israel, and said to him, Amos hath conspired against thee in the house of Israel, and the land is not able to bear his words. And Amaziah went to him and said to Amos, flee thee, get away to Judah, quit prophesying here. This is the king's chapel. This is the king's court. We're not going to listen to you, but we're looking for a sure sign of the Lord's return. Now, nobody can give it to you. Nobody knows it. But I'm going to in closing. In Revelation 19, of the times and of the seasons, ye have no need that I write unto you, brethren. For you know full well, the Lord comes as a thief in the night, but not to those watching and waiting for him. And forget about that little nation over there. And you can't forget about the humanity and the suffering and the wickedness of children being butchered there. But we got no right to say anything about it. We're butchering them here. So you can't look at that little nation. You can't look at the signs of the time, so called. You want a sure sign? In Revelation 19, beginning with verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God Omnipotent reigneth. Told you about when we were young, be up at my grandmother's, sometimes our aunt would walk with us down to this creek. That had to us it was a large waterfall, but you could hear it roaring. Look, just a small stream. But you could hear it roaring when you got to the top of the hill. It was making a sound. John said, I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, like the voice of many waters, or the voice of mighty thunderings, all in unison saying, Alleluia, the Lord God Omnipotent reigneth. There is for you, right there, a resting place. You don't need to know what's coming tomorrow, next year, 20 years if we're here. You have the Almighty God reigning. And whatsoever He's pleased to do, that doeth He both in heaven and in earth. And you got that sure foundation under you. You got that rock. And you got God all around. But that's not the sign. Here's what you can go on, children, of the Lord's soon return. Oh, it won't be anything. It won't be anything visible. Except in the local congregation. And before the Lord returns, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, our God that reigneth. Why should we rejoice? For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the title here in the end, His wife made herself ready. When you begin seeing these that aren't faithful, becoming faithful, when you begin seeing these that are faithful, begin cleaning up their lives and get rid of those little foxes that you heard about, and all of them begin looking upward, knowing that the Lord is soon to return. When she starts getting ready, all her work must be done in time. She has no time when the bridegroom steps out of glory. So she better, when she heard in the depths of her soul that little still small voice, yet it was a thundering in her soul, the bridegroom coming. She got her lamp out and she checked the oil and made sure, and she lighted the lamp and waited for the bridegroom. Just look at God's children around you. None of us are as dedicated as we ought to be. All of us can live a richer, fuller life in our soul. Will the world be watching her? No. You think God's going to remind them? God's coming The Lord Jesus comes back as a thief in the night. No, world can't see this. All they'll see is a bunch of overzealous Christians. Won't mean a thing to them. So that clock has made its last round. And it's back where it was 2,000 years ago or 4,000 years before that. And He who began a work of creation is carrying on a work of creation in your soul. And down there, when things get difficult for you, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Nobody be watching the bride. You'll see it in others. You'll find it in your own heart. The church, the true church, is unknown. No one, absolutely no one, knows about her. What sound is she going to make? What sound is she going to hear? It'll be in her soul. Bridegroom comes, and she'll start getting ready, trimming her lamps, waiting, watching. Nobody outside is going to be seeing you, knowing what's going on. But inside the walls of his local congregation, wherever they might be, a group of people is going to become dedicated and striving after godliness and true holiness and purity. He said, but there are more churches in America, across America, than there's ever been. No, there's not. There's more church buildings. Well, God is spoken about in all these, with some of them with thousands hearing God proclaimed. So they will be a warning. These national known preachers, they'll tell us. They hear from God. They will proclaim. Question's going to be, what God are they going to be proclaiming about? Because the God they've set before people is not the one true living God. The folk, God's been silent in our land for a long time. He had to, or the very foundation of the nation would not have crumbled up under us if God had been speaking. So don't look for any outward appearance, for the true God works quietly. Very still, very small voice. Nobody in your household can hear it but you. Neither can you hear that in anybody else's heart. And you start getting ready. Now is the time. And He's never refused a single soul that came.